Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, how are you today? I hope that you are fine. With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm also fine. And today listeners, on Wednesday, on 27th February 2019, I would like to accompany you 1 hour ahead with our some segments such as news, commentary, information, music, entertainment, and also pop songs. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to begin this program with the news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian Religious Affairs Ministry and Russian Mufti Council hold Muslim tradition exhibition in Russia. President encourage acceleration of data and inventory tenure of land in forest areas. Those are the lines, now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pani. Islam is one of religions that evolve rapidly in Russia. There are at least 25 million Muslims in Russia, or 10% of the country's total population. To provide information about Islam in the country, Russian Mufti Council and Indonesian Religious Affairs Ministry held photographic exhibition titled Islamic Tradition in Russia. The exhibition is held until March 18, 2019, at Bayat Al-Quran and Istiqlal Mosque Museum at Indonesian Miniature Park, Taman Mini, Indonesia Indah. Vice Chairman of Russian Mufti Council, Rushan Abiyasov, said that through the photographic exhibition, he hoped Indonesian people can obtain new information about Muslim life in Russia. When he met on the sidelines of the exhibition in Jakarta on Tuesday, Rushan explained that Russia is a country that upholds the religious freedom.
We want to speak and get the picture about Islam in Russia, about history of Islam in Russia, about the modern situation in Russia, because many people don't know about the situation. Now, alhamdulillah, we have freedom, we have good cooperation relation between our Muslim community, with the government, with the parliament, with the all state structure, and we have good interface religion dialogue between other cultures.
Rushan Avyasov moreover added that religious freedom is proven by building 8,000 mosques, Islamic Institute and Islamic Academy during the last 28 years. On the same occasion, Indonesian Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin explained that Russia has the same religious life with Indonesia, where people with different religions can live together. Russian Ambassador to Indonesia Lyudmila Voroveva explained that the exhibition is important for Russia as a media to remind local people in terms of diverse religious backgrounds. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminded his staff over the importance of policy for utilizing land in forest areas. In his direction at the Working Cabinet Limited meeting at the presidential office in Jakarta on Tuesday, President Joko Widodo said the land use policy in forest areas will provide legal protection to people who use the land. The president also encouraged his staff to immediately accelerate land data collection process in the forest area, so that all levels of society can immediately obtain mandates from this land. He also pressed the efforts to inventory and verify land tenure in forest areas so that land disputes can be eliminated. I think the data collection and arrangements of lands in the forest area must be accelerated so that the people can get benefit. The customary law community, the ulayat community, are also able to utilize this activity. Then, we make inventory and verification of land tenure in forest areas. On the same occasion, President Joko Widodo also explained that land conflicts and disputes often lead the people's disadvantage. He also said that there are many villages in forest area that cannot be developed due to difficulty of the license process. He explained this must be overcome immediately so that people can get benefits of land in the forest area for the economic development. 10 supervisory boards in ASEAN established an organization namely ASEAN CI in Bali in 2011. It was aimed to increase transparency and accountability in the governments and public institutions in Southeast Asia. During his speech on ASEAN, ASEAN CI AIPA joint seminar in Jakarta on Tuesday, the Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla mentioned that the cooperation in the form of auditing is important to give transparency system and accountability for each countries.
Dalam kesempatan ini, tentu kerjasama.
The cooperation in the form of auditing is important to provide us a system of transparency and also economic accountability of each country openly. We want ASEAN to cooperate fairly. The aim is to advantage these regional countries in various fields. Therefore, I would like to express my appreciation to the BPK and invite all supreme audits of all countries to jointly establish a close relationship so that they can bring something beneficial for a good governance. Related to the matter, the whole ASEAN institutes in cooperation with ASEAN Secretariat to strengthen the importance of good governance promotion, which is the most important element in the ASEAN Vision 2025, moving forward together. The joint seminar of ASEAN, ASEAN CI, AIPA, is participated in by 100 senior staffs and representatives of three organizations, as well as other entities. This program is also supported by the German government through several projects such as ASEC 2025, support to ASEAN CI and AIPA for ASEAN that will be implemented by the German Company for International Cooperation. The Indonesian government is supporting the ASEAN Korea Center by participating in ASEAN Twain to mark 30 years of ASEAN Republic of Korea commemorative summit. The event held by the South Korean government is a chance for Indonesia to introduce its culture and creativity among the people of South Korea. Director General of National Export Development of the Trade Ministry, Arlinda, said in a written statement released on Tuesday. Hopefully, the event will lead to closer relations between the people of the two countries and will eventually have an impact on tourism, investment and trade. The South Korean government has appointed AKC as the organizer of the ASEAN Twain. Preparations for the event were discussed at the 11th annual meeting of the AKC Board of Directors from February 15 to 19 in Seoul. Director of Export Development Cooperation at the Trade Ministry, Marolop Nenggolan, stated that Indonesia affirms its support and readiness to make the event a success. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. PT Pertamina Persero and Petrolian National Berhad Petronas signed a memorandum of understanding on the synergy to develop the business of oil and gas and its derivatives. The cooperation not only covers business between Indonesia and Malaysia, but also explores business opportunities outside the two countries. Pertamina's Director of Investment Planning and Risk Management, Heru Setiawan, noted in a statement on Tuesday that the MOU between the two companies was a realization of the government-to-government cooperation that has been closely established. Pertamina and Petronas will explore the possibilities of cooperation from the upstream to downstream fields. The cooperation to be implemented is not only in Indonesia and Malaysia, but can also be developed in other countries such as oil processing in East Asia and joint exploration of business opportunities in other continents. In the trade sector, the two companies agreed to exchange crude oil between production bases in Malaysia for the Kike, Kimanis and Kidurong fields, with production bases in Indonesia for the Jabung and Ketapang fields. The Venice Ministry is drafting a government regulation to lay a legal basis for the disbursement of aid of either allowance for state apparatus or civil servants in May 2019. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati stated, the regulations related to the holiday allowances, including the 13 salaries for state apparatus, has been set forth in the 2019 state budget. She noted after a coordinating meeting of public service bodies in Jakarta on Thursday. The 2019 state budget, which was endorsed in October 2018, began to take effect in January 2019. Since Eid al-Fitr festivities this year fall on June the 1st and collective leave start from June the 1st until June 7, the allowances will be distributed in May 2019. The Finance Ministry and the Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform Ministry are in the process of formulating the government regulation. In addition, the Finance Ministry is still awaiting a report from the Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform Ministry with regard to the verification of the number of civil servants entitled to receive the allowances. Indonesia emerged as the winner of the AFF U22 Championships after beating Thailand 2-1 in the finals at the Phnom Penh National Stadium on Tuesday night. Indonesia's two goals from Sunny Rizky Fauji and Osvaldo Ardiles Hai buried Thailand's lead in the finals. This is the second time that Indra Safri has taken Indonesia to win the AFF, having won the AFF U19 Championship in 2013. Thailand's Salim Khan from Supa scored a goal in the 57th minute through a header. Indonesia equalized in the 59th minute through Fauji, who made a speculative shot from outside the penalty area. The ball hit the Thai defender before Fauji converted into a goal. Indonesia scored the second goal in the 64th minute through Hai. Well, listener, that's the news.
Today's commentary is on Arab League and European Union Summit. Sharm el-Sheikh, a beautiful tourist city in the Red Sea region in Egypt, on Saturday and Sunday, February the 24th and 25th, hosted a high-level conference between Arab League member countries and the European Union. This became the first summit of the two regions. Qatar, which at the last Arab League summit was not present, this time attended with its representatives who sat in the secretariat in Cairo. One reason why the Arab League held this summit was the desire for the European Union to play a greater role in the Middle East region. Moreover, the United States slowly began to reduce its role. Palestinians at the summit specifically called on the Arab League and the European Union to cooperate in holding an international peace conference to revive the Israeli-Palestinian negotiations, which have stalled since 2014. Palestinians object to the single role of the United States in mediating its problems with Israel, especially since Washington moved its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. The Arab League and the European Union agree on the Palestinian issue, namely the two-state solution according to the UN solution. On the other hand, the European Union seems to be displeased if the vacant role left by the United States is filled with other major countries, namely Russia and China. So, in his closing speech, European Council President Donald Tusk expressed the need for cooperation and not to let the Middle East region be under global power far from the region itself. In fact, Russia has been present strong enough with naval and air bases in Syria, while China does not enter from the military side but from investment cooperation planted in Egypt, Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. It is indeed hard for the European Union to immediately implement plans in the declaration because its position has been left behind. But the influence of the European Union can be strengthened because Arab countries open doors in the region. Now the summit is over. The declaration has been signed. It remains action that must be taken by the two regional organizations so that the declaration is not just a signed paper. That was commentary today on Arab Leagues and European Union Summit. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Today in History.
We start from an event on February 27, 1965, on the first flight of Antonov An-22. Antonov An-22 is a cargo aircraft carrying four engines. The plane is known to be the greatest plane powered by turboprop in the world. Antonov An-22 conducted its first flight on February 27, 1965. It was the first wide-body aircraft which was developed by the Soviet Union as a strategic airlifter to deploy Russian army and military vehicles. An-22 could take 290 passengers and 80,000 pounds loadings when operating from runway. An-22 was introduced in 1967. The plane is still actively operated despite it has been gradually replaced by the new Antonov An-124. Next, on February 27, 2007, the Pagaruyung Palace in West Sumatra was burned. Basa Pagaruyung Palace, which is better known as Pagaruyung Palace, is located in the complex of Minangkabau Kingdom Palace in Batu Sangkar, Tanah Datar Regency, West Sumatra. However, on February 27, 2007, was lit by fire after the crash of thunder on the roof of the palace. Therefore, the three-story building was burned. Some of documents and ornaments could not be saved from the lid of the fire. The Pagaruyung Palace is the replica of the original one. Baso Pagaruyung Village, which is also located on Batu Patah Hill. The original palace was damaged by heavy fire due to a violent riot in 1804. The last information is on earthquake and tsunami in Chile on February 27, 2010. An 8.8 magnitude earthquake happened in Chile on February 27, 2010. The quake also triggered tsunami on the Pacific Ocean and hit a number of countries such as New Zealand, Australia, Hawaii Islands, and other countries in the Pacific region and Japan. 432 people lost their lives after the earthquake. The quake created various impacts starting from the minor to the most serious ones. That was today in history. Termenung di keningmu,
matamu. Apakah itulah caramu?
Listeners, you have just listened music from Fatur with title Selalu Untuk Selamanya. And listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, in today's edition, I would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's topic of My Indonesia title, Indonesian trade mission to India received positive outcome. The entourage of Indonesian trade mission to India in a bid to attend meeting and the fourth exhibition of the India-ASEAN 2019 from February 21 to 23, 2019. Brought positive outcome for the country's economy. Compass newspaper on Monday, February 25, reported that, besides giving opportunity to reduce the customs tariff for derivative products of crude palm oil, the trade mission succeeded at helping Indonesia's products penetrate the Indian market. The Indian government would like to reduce customs tariff from 50 to 45% for the derivative products of crude palm oil, which is the same as the one applied for Malaysia's products. It is one of the points of the Indonesian trade mission delegates, led by Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita. A number of Indonesian businesses received the opportunity to expand their products to India. The products which can be exported comprise not only the derivative products of crude palm oil, but also jewelry, food and beverages, as well as textile products. Director General of the National Export Development at the Indonesian Trade Minister Arlinda said that the Indian business people also explore the opportunity of purchasing rubber products spices and paper from Indonesia. There were at least 5 Indian business people who attended the business exploration held on the sidelines of the India-ASEAN meeting and expo to explore the opportunity of Indonesia's rubber commodity. Minister Enggar Tiasto reported to journalists that the demand of rubber has increased in Indonesia, which is the same as the need of vegetable oil. According to Minister Enggar Tiasto, most of the time, India has always imported rubber from Singapore. However, the rubber itself came from Indonesia. Enggar Tiasto affirmed the importance of partnership and collaborative principles in trade cooperation. Minister Enggar Tiasto viewed India as the fourth biggest trade partner of Indonesia, but trade is not the matter of rank, surplus, and deficit. The true essence of trade partnership is how trade can support the development and prosperity of the society in both participating countries. The total trade value between Indonesia and India reached $18.7 billion. From the trade, India gained a surplus of $8.7 billion. Meanwhile, 60% of Indonesia's total export is composed from crude palm oil. That's the end of My Indonesia.
Tak pernah terbayang akan jadi seperti ini pada akhirnya. Semua waktu yang pernah kita lewati bersamanya tak hilang dan sirna. Hitam putih berlalu, janji kita menunggu, tapi kita tak mampu. 1001 cara kita lewati untuk dapatkan semua jawaban ini. Bila memang harus berpisah, aku akan tetap setia. Bila memang ini ujungnya, kau kan tetap ada dalam jiwa. Tak bisa untuk teruskan, dunia kita berbeda. Bila memang ini ujungnya, kau kan tetap ada di dalam jiwa. Memang tak mudah, tapi ku tegar menjalani kosongnya hati. Buanglah mimpi kita yang pernah terjadi, simpan untuk jadi story. Hitam putih berlalu, janji kita menunggu, tapi kita tak mampu. 1001 cara kita lewati untuk dapatkan semua jawaban ini. Bila memang harus berpisah, aku akan tetap setia.
That's the song titled Tetap Dalam Jiwa, sung by Isyana Sarasvati. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, I would like to present next segment. It is about tourism and also local wisdom from Indonesian people, and it is what we call Indonesian Wonder.
Listeners, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will invite you to visit Kendal Regency, Central Java Province. The Regency, which has a nickname Islamic Student City, has amazing natural scenery. The nickname is given to Kendal Regency because there are thousands of Islamic boarding schools in this Regency. One of tourism objects which is well known in this area is Sendang Sekucing Beach. The beach is located at Sendang Sekucing Village, Rowasari District, around 5 kilometers to the north of Lereri City, or around 22 kilometers from Kendal City. The trip from Lereri City takes around 10 minutes. The transportation to reach this place is quite easy, because there are a lot of public transportation and the road infrastructure is also quite well. Sendang Sekucing Beach is always crowded by domestic and foreign tourists. The beach complex has complete facilities such as restroom, children playground, and restaurant. Its calm wave makes the beach worthy to be a main tourism destination in Kendal. Dolphins and other animal show are always performed at the beach complex, so it often becomes a destination for students to tour along with their school's friends. Sendang Sekucing Beach also offers dolphin therapy by using dolphin as media of therapy, that is belief, to be able to treat various diseases such as autism, stroke, migraine, motor neurological disorders, and therapy for pregnant women. Natural beauty is rarely found at the coastal area, but there are a lot of pine trees at the beach where tourists can take shelter from sunlight under the trees. Friendly local people also one of the attractions of this place, and you do not have to worry about the entrance fee, because you only need to pay 30,000 rupiahs to enjoy your holiday at the beach, which is certainly different with other beaches in general. The uniqueness of Sendang Sekucing Beach is its natural phenomenon, which occurs once in every 8 to 10 years. Sea waves carry out various kinds of climbs to the seashores. It makes fishermen and tourists flock to the beach to collect the clams. So, what are you waiting for? Set your time to come to Sendang Sekucing Beach. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thanks for listening.
Januari.
Listeners, you have just listened to music from Glenn Freddy with title January. Yes, January, listeners. And you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, I would like to give you another information. It is related to interesting tourism that happens in Indonesia.
Hello, this is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is memberi kabar or how are you? Next is a conversation about memberi kabar or in English, how are you? Now I bring you a conversation between Tony and Haru.
Halo Tony, maaf mengganggu.
Oh, tidak apa-apa.
Saya ingin kamu mencoba makanan Indonesia. Kamu mau?
Oh, tentu saja mau.
Saya akan SMS nama dan alamat restorannya.
Oke, baik.
As usual, after the conversation, I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Apa kabar? Apa kabar? In English, how are you? Kabar baik. Kabar baik. In English, I'm fine. Aku juga baik. Aku juga baik. I'm fine too. Kamu apa kabar? Kamu apa kabar? In English, how are you? Menginap. Menginap. To stay. Kamu menginap di mana? Kamu menginap di mana? Where do you stay? Aku menginap di Hotel Mutiara. Aku menginap di Hotel Mutiara. In English, I stay at Mutiara Hotel. Listener, next are conversations to know condition each other. For example, Haru, hai apa kabar? Tony, baik. Kamu? Haru, aku juga baik. Tony, siang Bu, apa kabar? Sinta, baik. Kamu bagaimana? In the conversations, they are in a good condition. But when your condition is not good, you can answer in accordance with the real condition. For example, Hello Sinta, apa kabar? Or, Hai Sinta, how are you? Saya sedikit pusing. Tadi malam, saya kurang tidur. Saya sedikit pusing. Tadi malam, saya kurang tidur. Or in English, I'm a bit headache. I like sleep last night. Apakah kamu sudah minum obat? Or in English, have you take medication? Belum. Or not yet. In the previous conversations, when Tony talked to Sinta on the plane, with flight attendants and with the receptionist, Tony always used the word saya for himself. But when Tony talked to his friend, he used the word aku. For example, Halo, selamat malam, Haru. Or, Haru, good evening. Hi, Tony, apa kabar? Or,
Hi Tony, how are you? Baik, kamu? Or I'm fine. How about you? Aku juga. Or I'm fine too. Oh ya, aku sudah tiba di Jogja. Or in English, I'm already in Jogja. In Indonesian language, there are the first person pronoun of which are often used, namely saya and aku. When you talk to someone you respect, with an older person, with someone you've just met, or when you speak in a formal situation, you have to use the word saya. However, when you talk to friends, you can use the word aku or sometimes saya. For the second person pronoun, there are usually used the word anda or kamu. The word anda is usually used for formal situations in or in letters, while the word kamu is only used with friends or with children. For the third person pronoun is beliau or dia. The word beliau is only used for people who are respected, while the word dia is used in general. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Halo Tony, maaf mengganggu.
Oh, tidak apa-apa.
Saya ingin kamu mencoba makanan Indonesia. Kamu mau?
Oh, tentu saja mau.
Saya akan SMS nama dan alamat restorannya.
Oke, baik.
Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio. Hopefully, this edition has been helpful to those who want to know about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week for more interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Voice of Indonesia.
Jatuh hati.
www.voynews.id. Listeners, you have just listened music from Krisha featuring Sofia Lajuba with title Kangen. Yes, Kangen, listeners. And you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voynews.id. Listeners, in this edition and next segment, I would like to give you information about music. And this is related to traditional music in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. I present a song from South Sulawesi titled Pantai Losari, sung and composed by Anci Larici. The cheerful song narrates about the happiness of visitors who come to Losari Beach, the pride object location of people in Makassar, South Sulawesi. One of blissfulness of visiting Losari Beach is when enjoying typical food which are sold around the beach, such as pisang or banana epe, grilled fish, coconut milk vegetable, and condiment. Besides, while sitting in Losari Beach, visitors will feel the breeze. The song Pantai Losari also tells about young people who are happy to visit the beach. The whole lyrics of the song Pantai Losari are accompanied with cheerful musical rhythm which describes the happiness of people during their visit Losari Beach. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song titled Pantai Losari by Anci Larici.
Sampai lupa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, I think that's all for today. For 1 hour, I accompany you listeners in English language program broadcasting. And thank you for your kind attention to listen to our program for today. Listeners, I would like to give you another interesting information. So please stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz. And website www.voinews.id. Listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Twitter, at voinindonesia. And our Instagram account, voi@voinews.id.